Good afternoon. I'd like to call this joint committee meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries and House Resources Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, April 25th. Let the record reflect. It is 6:04 p.m. I would like to remind committee members and those in the audience to please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Lori Rowland with House Records and Zach Lawhorn from the Juneau LAO. Thank you. And Chair McKay, would you like to call the roll of House Resources Committee?
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Vance. Present tonight from the House Resources Committee is Representative Baker, Representative McCabe, Representative Wright, Representative Armstrong, Representative Mears, Representative Dibert, and myself, Chair McKay.
And present from the House Special Committee on Fisheries is Representative McCabe, Representative Carpenter, Representative Stutes, Representative Hemshute, and myself, Chair Vance. And, Representative McCormick sneaked in over here. We have a quorum to conduct business. For the purpose of the meeting today is to review the governor's two appointees to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Both appointees will have about 10 minutes each, and you don't have to take up the whole time if you don't want to make opening remarks. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we will take questions from members. For the public listening online, I will open public testimony for both appointees after we have concluded introductions and questions. So call in at any time, and you will have 2 minutes to testify. So those who do not have an opportunity to call in, you can email to house.fisheries@akleg.gov, and we will upload your testimony to the public record. Do members have any questions before we begin? Okay, seeing none, we will now hear from the appointees for Alaska Board of Fisheries, and we will begin here in the room with Mr. Curtis Chamberlain, if you'd please come to the table. So if you would state your name for the record and begin your remarks.
Good evening. My name is Curtis Chamberlain, and I'm here to ask for your support and vote for confirmation for Alaska's Board of Fisheries. I grew up living off the land in and around Aniak and later went to high school in Bethel. I started commercial fishing in the Kuskokwim River at the age of 10 and fished every summer until the fishery collapsed in 1994. Elders in our region advocated for the youth to leave for their education and training and then come back to help the communities. Following that guidance, I left for college and law school. Growing up with my lifestyle gave me a profound work ethic that has served me well throughout my life. I won an AAU national championship in judo in 2001 by putting in the long hours and training needed to reach that level. I was then able to convert my work ethic to academics and earned a full merit scholarship to Michigan State University College of Law. Professionally, I developed as a trial lawyer in Las Vegas, acting as lead trial attorney in approximately 75 trials and arbitrations. After my children were born, I wanted to reconnect with my culture and pass it on to my next generation, so I began re-engaging with in Alaska, eventually serving on the board of directors for the Kuskokwim Corporation. My drive in advocacy led to my current position as an attorney at Chulestic Corporation. There, I focus on fisheries, corporate governance, and litigation. I also currently serve on the advisory panel for the North Pacific Anadromous Fish Commission. Throughout my childhood, I took pride in living in a state that had the best fishing in the world. It seemed that every river in our state was legendary. Our sports fishing, subsistence, and commercial industries were all thriving. I recall going to the confluence of the Buckstock River and the Aniak River, where I'd look down into crystal clear waters but couldn't see the bottom because there were so many fish. My mission and the reason I applied for the board is to help Alaska's return to that glory. I dream of seeing full smokehouses along the rivers in the state, seeing news reports of massive king salmon being caught in the Kenai and other Alaska rivers, and seeing people in communities able to sustain their families throughout all the user groups. My litigation experience will particularly benefit me on the Board of Fish in this time of difficulty. Contrary to popular belief, trial attorneys almost never recommend going to trial. Even if you win a trial, the appeals process can tie a matter up for over a decade. And when that happens, your fate is decided by someone other than yourself. As such, the negotiated solution is almost always better than the litigated solution. And this leads to the most important thing all user groups need to remember. We all need the fish. We all rely on the fish, and the loss of the fish would have devastating impacts on each of us in our communities. I'm a child of subsistence, of sports fishing, and of commercial fishing, and I've lived through the collapse of all three in my lifetime. I'll work to bring the user groups together and seek innovative ways for the communities and industries to meet their needs while rebuilding the fisheries and getting the eggs back in the spawning beds. When two parties are at loggerheads, they tend to dig in and miss the mutually beneficial solution. The problem with this in natural resources is the resource suffers. If the resources aren't more maintained, more losses like the 7-year closure on the Yukon River will follow, and our fisheries may end up being managed by outsiders or judges with no experience in the fisheries. Nobody wants that. I am encouraged by actions taken by all three user groups in recent Board of Fish and North Pacific Fisheries Management sessions, and hope that progress continues and further develops in the future, because there is a long way to go. My duty lies in protecting the resource for the benefit of all user groups and for all future generations of Alaskans. I hope with proper management we'll restore the fishery to the bounty of my youth, and that our great-grandchildren can look down on the rivers full of fish in awe the same way that I did. Before I close for question, I wanted to take a moment to thank the administration for my appointment. I understand this seat was traditionally a sports fishing seat, and as a child of all three industries, I don't necessarily fit into that mold. However, I am encouraged that the governor and his administration recognize the dire situation facing all Alaskans and is willing to step out of the traditional boxes for my appointment. I thank you all for your time and value it as well. So I'll cut it a little short, and I welcome any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chamberlain. Do we have questions from committee members? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a question, and we spoke about this earlier today. And there is some concern because you have indicated that you're employed by Calista.
Yes.
And Calista has taken a pretty strong stance in encouraging federal control and federal management of our fisheries. And how is that going to play into your position as a board member when certainly we support state management of our own fisheries?
Well, I through the chair, and thank you, Representative Stutes, for that question. And I do recall that, or I do recall that conversation. And and just about an hour and a half ago, I did see a letter opposing my appointment on that behalf. And I wasn't aware that there was that it stated I spoke against federal management. I do want to clarify for the record that I have no recollection of ever making any such statement. And I've gone through all of my prepared testimony. Granted, I've made a lot of unprepared testimony as well before the numerous fishing commissions. And I have no recollection of ever making that statement. As a lawyer, you never want to say I've never done that, because absolutes are, you should never use them. But I have no recollection of that. And I should point out that Calista has opted not to take a position in the Kuskokwim litigation matter, despite the vast majority of the disputed fisheries falling within Calista's region. I can't go into too much detail on that due to attorney-client privilege, but Calista's position is that, is to stay out of that. And one of the things we also want to take a look at is a lot of Calista shareholders, myself included, now fall within urban areas and are not afforded any protection under Title 8 of ANILCA. So with that said, I'm happy to answer that question and address that I'll start with a very plain statement. No one likes serving two masters. The dual management system creates even more obstacles and hurdles for a lot of our people who lack the understanding of the bureaucracy to reach across the multiple jurisdictions to address and find their voice in all of these multiple venues. And it's a very difficult issue for a lot of our shareholders. And so I would very much welcome a unified management system, you know, and there are hurdles to that. There are legislative hurdles that are outside of my purview and things I can't control, but I would like to see Alaska come into compliance with the ANILCA requirements or have either a legislative change or something where the rural subsistence priority or an equivalent measure is afforded, but that ultimately falls down to the legislature, and that is not me. Now, when it comes to Calista's positions versus mine, I will also say that Calista has never asked that I take any position on the Board of Fish, and if their positions differ with mine on any issue, their position would be afforded the same weight any other person or industry would be given. And if it ultimately came down to a position where Calista did feel inclined to insist on that, I would be heartbroken because I'm at a job where my daily thought is I can't believe I get paid to do what I do. And it would really be terrible to walk away from that. But yes, that's and so to answer that question, I understand that, and I long for the day we are under one management system, but that is outside of my scope, and so I certainly hope that gets resolved someday soon.
Follow up. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. So, simply put, am I to assume that you would support our commissioner in state management of our fisheries?
If that can be done without a litany of lawsuits, because the lawyers are just getting rich on this, I absolutely would love it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further questions from committee members? Don't want to miss anyone. Representative Hemshoot.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Through the chair, thanks for your time today, Mr. Chamberlain, and thanks for being here tonight and your willingness to do what is arguably a monumental volunteer job. So through the chair, I'm curious, when we talk about the different gear groups, what factors do you consider in allocation decisions between gear groups?
I look at all of the group, all of the factors I can in taking care of it. And I think there is specific guidance within the statute on how to look at, and you look at historical use, the importance of it to the industry. And then there's also the subsistence priority enshrined in that. But ultimately, I look at it from a holistic view where you take all considerations in and look to identify and find the maximum benefit for the maximum number of people. Using my judo background, one of the tenets they say is maximum effect with minimum effort. And a lot of that does, not to say it doesn't require effort, a lot of it requires unique and innovative thought methods to find that unique solution that has minimal negative impacts to the respective gear groups. And that involves a lot of effort and a lot of conversation. So you can front load the pain and put it onto the board members rather than on the user groups. So I hope that answers that question. I know I'm long-winded on that, and I tend to stray off, but yeah.
Follow-up, Representative?
Quick follow-up, thank you. Through the chair, I said gear group. What I meant was user group. So if you have one kind of fish and different kinds of, I guess, requests made to fish those fish, I'd just be curious how you balance that.
Yes. Well, my first duty is to the fish, is to the resource. I want to first ensure that there are enough fish reaching the spawning ground so that the future generations, you know, I always had trouble with corporate law down in the lower 48 because you're looking at the next quarterly report. I'm used to, as a native Alaskan, we're looking 10, 20 generations down the road. And I want to make sure that this resource is there for all of them for years to come and generations to come. And then after that, with the gear groups, it's finding the way to do this and using, and with them, a lot of it is finding how to effectively harvest the salmon stocks that are in abundance while not harming the salmon stocks that are not in abundance. And that requires a lot of innovative thinking in that. And so ultimately, you know, the ultimate goal is to get our salmon back to where they were. And that does require difficult decisions and sometimes brave decisions where I think when I've had discussions with all the groups, it's hard to find one solution that makes everyone happy. But I will try to minimize the pain to every gear group in there. And so with that, I do look at the historical use. And what it means to the community, the commercial effect, and the downstream and upstream effects. A lot of my experience in corporate law looks at, you know, look at the supply chain and all the stakeholders in there. It's not just the fishermen. It's the surrounding communities. It's the families. You know, there are a lot of other people at play in there, and you have to take all of them into consideration when you make these decisions. And these decisions are not easy.
Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for a chance to have another question here. And I appreciate you being here for sure. Do you have a particular opinion on hatcheries in the state?
Yes. It is very complicated and an evolving. And the science on that is evolving and not yet complete. I have spoken before on Chelista's behalf as an advocate, and I've advocated for certain positions. On the Board of Fish, I won't be such an advocate, but more of an arbiter, because they're in that I'm not there to advance the interest of my client and to advance arguments of my client. My duty there does not lie to a corporation, but to the salmon and to the people of Alaska. And with that, I will... you need to examine all of the facts in there. There's a lot of science that has come out, and quite frankly, there's a lot of work to be done. I'm encouraged by a lot of questions that were asked of the department at the Upper Cook Inlet Board of Fish meeting, and I certainly look forward to getting more answers on them. But I recognize the importance of the hatcheries in numerous communities. And I certainly don't take this load lightly. But overall my primary position on that is first do no harm. And I want to make sure that that we're operating effectively and that we don't damage the native stocks, but at the same time, if there has to be anything done, that we do it in a surgical and effective manner to minimize any collateral damage to or pain to any other user groups. So I certainly don't want to take a sledgehammer approach on anything, but I do want to be very careful on how I operate in that arena.
Thank you.
Representative McCabe.
Thanks. I have a couple of questions. Ooh, that's very loud. And they're pretty simple. Stakeholder or resource? What's more important for a Board of Fish member?
The resource.
Okay. Can you be impartial? I don't really care where you live as long as you can be impartial and area-wide and be advocate for the fish no matter where it is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Any further questions from committee members? None. Thank you so much, Mr. Chamberlain.
Thank you.
So next we will go to Teams. with to hear from current board member Marit Carlson Van Dort. If you could please state your name for the record and just reintroduce yourself to members, you will have approximately 10 minutes.
Tamai, Madam Chair, thank you for the invitation to be with you this evening, members of the committee. My name is Marit Carlson Van Dort. I was born and raised Alaskan. I'm a Chinook from the Southern Alaska Peninsula, and I was raised between Juneau in the winters, where I attended school, in Chinook Bay, where I spent my summers with a very large extended family and many generational fishermen. I currently reside in Anchorage, where I moved in 2013, but prior to 2013, my entire life experience has been living in coastal Alaska off the road system, and I continue to maintain a seasonal home in the village of Chinook Bay. In the early 90s, when I was about 13, I was offered a job on my grandfather's seine boat, and I spent the next 14 or so summers seining for salmon with him and a few other different skippers over the years, and I'm also a lifelong subsistence user. These experiences fishing, particularly in my youth, really inspired my early interest in ecology and the sciences of the natural world. And after graduating from Juneau Douglas High School, I attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I earned a bachelor's degree in conservation biology. And while Wisconsin may not be known particularly as a hotbed for salmon research, the university has pioneered the science of limnology and fish ecology and freshwater systems in North America, and it was in that coursework where I was very interested in and chose to concentrate most of my studies. Upon returning to Alaska, I continued my education at the University of Alaska Southeast in fishery science, where I was really interested in large population dynamics of salmonid species, and also in the Master's of Arctic Teaching program, where I studied secondary education with a math science emphasis, and through which I completed my student teaching practicum at Juneau Douglas High School, where I taught physical science and oceanography for a year. Over the years, you know, how Alaska protects, manages, and uses its many resources that we've been blessed with has remained central to both my personal and my professional interests. Many of you may know that I'm a former legislative staffer, both in the House and the Senate. I spent many hours assigned to the work of both of the resources committees in particular, and I'm also a former legislative liaison to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, where I think I spent 6 or 7 years in that role. In 2013, I shifted to the private sector and continued working in public and government affairs in areas associated primarily with state and federal regulation, environmental policy, permitting, resource development, and community outreach and engagement. I am currently employed as the president and chief executive officer of Far West Inc., which is the Alaska Native Village Corporation for Chinook Bay, which was formed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. My initial interest in serving on this board came about because of what seemed to me to be very significant and dramatic shifts in many of Alaska's fish populations and their behaviors in recent years. I continue to be very interested in trying to understand what is causing these changes and ensuring that fisheries management policies are appropriately responsive to what is being observed locally and also reflected in the scientific data. Most importantly, we need to be managing for long-term sustainability. And to me, that means first and foremost, unequivocally, that sufficient numbers of fish are returning and reproducing to renew wild populations. Secondly, that we are managing for a sustainable surplus, and that Alaska's subsistence use priority is being upheld so that fish are available to Alaskans as a reliable, affordable, and accessible source of healthy protein to support our bodies and to feed our families. To be clear, I fully support Alaska's commercial fishing industry. It is very important to Alaska's economy and also an important part of bolstering Alaska's food security. Making a fish available to Alaskans who, for whatever reason, may not be willing or able to access the resources for themselves, not to mention feeding the world with healthy wild fish. And I fully recognize the value and importance of Alaska's subsistence, commercial sport fishing, and personal use fisheries to the culture and economies of our Alaskan communities, particularly rural communities. During my time on this board, I have worked very hard to develop relationships with resource users and to be available to individuals and groups. In addition to board meetings, of course, I have met with stakeholders from throughout the Kodiak Islands. I have met with Cook Inlet drift fishermen and set netters. I have met with sport fish guides and conservation groups from the lower Cook Inlet to the Mat-Sea Valley. I have met with Southeast Alaska commercial and sport fishing interests and subsistence users. I have visited and met with Alaska Peninsula area stakeholders. I have met with hatchery representatives. I have met with Kenai, Chitna, and Western Alaska dip netters and folks from the Alaska Native Regional and Village Corporations and tribes. I have attended Yukon, Kuskokwim, and Bristol Bay regional meetings. I have communicated with countless individuals on the phone and through emails. I have attended Fish and Game Advisory Committee meetings from Sitka to Fairbanks and many, many points in between. And I've done my very best to be available to fisheries participants and to those that are concerned about Alaska's fisheries, because frankly, they deserve no less. It can be a very daunting task, and it is often fraught with disagreement and disappointment. The best I can do is be communicative and honest and to maintain focus on what is best for the fish. And how we manage in the interest of conservation and to satisfy the needs of various user groups is the board's greatest challenge. And we need to be basing our decisions on sound, defensible science and valuable local and traditional knowledge. And our collective goals need to be to ensure that healthy ecosystems and long-term sustainable resources that can provide for everyone. So, Madam Chair, you know, I've gotten a lot out of Alaska's fisheries. Personally, it has afforded me a great education. It has afforded me the opportunity for independence, financially and otherwise. And I want to continue to give back through service on this board. So I'm sure that there's quite a few questions for me. I'm happy to do my best to try and answer them. And with that, I will I'll close, Madam Chair, and Priyana, for your time today. Thank you.
Thank you for your introduction. We have a question from Representative McCabe.
So I actually have a couple of questions. Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Carlson-Van Dort, I'm sure you know from talking to me that my focus is solely on the resource. We don't get fish in the ocean unless we get them up the rivers. And as a biologist, I'm pretty sure you know that. We've talked a little bit about that. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I have a bit of a different question. I think many of us in this building are tired of the fighting about which seat is which on the Board of Fish, who has the, well, there's too many commercial fishermen on the board, there's too many subsistence on the board. So if we put in legislation to divide the board into three co-equal numbers, so two commercial, two subsistence, and two sport fish, would you support that? And which seat would you fit in?
Oh, that's a good question. So if you're talking about expanding the number of members of the board to 9, I'm assuming, instead of 7. You know, I think that it sounds equitable, but my concern would be, and maybe it could work, I don't know, but my concern would be that by doing that, you set up constituencies, and that could be problematic. So you almost are infusing the board even more with a representative constituency, and I don't know that that's what is in the best interest of the resource and the function of the board. I think that people should maintain the ability and independence to vote their conscience and what they think with their personal experience and the information that's presented to them, you know, in the best interest of the resource and go from there. So I know that's not a super clear yes or no answer through the chair, but I would be cautious about going about that route and make sure that it's very carefully vetted and thought through, particularly by the public.
Follow up. So, it's actually a really good answer, and I appreciate that. We tend to try to divide things. You know, some people have said, well, I've seen some letters, fact, in this packet that said, well, we can't support all these people because there's too many people from Anchorage. And so we tend to divide them up either regionally or by what stakeholder status they sit in or that sort of thing. And I think possibly I don't maybe disagree with having separate seats, but I think the larger focus needs to be on the resource. We have for too long focused on commercial fishermen, trawlers, sport fishermen, kings and Kenai, and And so I guess my last question for you is the same that I had for Mr. Chamberlain. You live in Anchorage. Can you support fishermen from Kodiak or Dutch Harbor or Southeast and the resources that that they are using?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, I think that my voting record has indicated that I can, and I do, and I will.
I would agree with that. Thank you.
Any further questions, Representative Stutes?
Thank you. Good evening, Ms. Bandor. Nice to see you. I've watched the last couple of Board of Fish meetings and attended a couple of them, and I'm wondering what your working relationship is with the Department of Fish and Game.
Well, from my perspective, I think the working relationship is quite good. I mean, I seek information and have many, many, many conversations with department staff. The commissioner and I think have a decent relationship. We agree on some things, we disagree on other things. I think it's a decent, respectful relationship.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Caught me at that. And I asked the question because it seemed like there was almost a conflictory type of relationship when between you and the department. When I'm watching the board, it's almost an angry type relationship, and that concerns me, and it's been brought to my attention by others who have attended this meeting, which is why I'm asking you if there were some issues that maybe need to be ironed out or something. It just seems like it's a conflictory type of relationship.
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, it's an environment that is fraught with conflict. And like I said, we do not always agree. That being said, there's often times when I do agree with the department. A lot of it is, in the information that's being presented, how it's being presented. I do have criticism sometimes in that space. But that's my job, I think, as a member of the board, is to think critically and to seek information from experts. That definitely includes the department, but not only the department.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair and through the chair. I have a question a little bit different than I would like to ask about, since you've been a member of the board, ask you for your assessment on discussions and analysis that you've reviewed. Have you ever felt that you didn't have enough data to make a really good decision, or that you wished that you had more data? And if so, what areas would that have been in?
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, the answer is frequently yes. I mean, often I would say we wish that we had more data. And largely it's a function of just resources, not just financial resources, but capacity, human resources as well. And throughout the fisheries, there are some fisheries I think that we have better data associated with than others. One example that I'll point to is some of the fisheries that are have treaty obligations associated with them. For example, like Southeast Chinook, there's there's more robust data around those fish because there's funding to study and do the genetics and all the things associated with that. So there's an example of where there is, I think, in my opinion, a higher level of scientific data that we can rely on to make some of those decisions, but there's a lot that aren't. So, Western Alaska chum is a good example. The genetics, I think, are lacking right now in terms of that information. Migration patterns of salmon species, particularly chum and chinook in the ocean environment. I would love to see more information and more work done on, trying to establish where these fish are going and when, And if there are, you know, conflicting fisheries, then can we manage to help avoid them when we know that they're present? I mean, there's a host of things. What are the impacts of, you know, hatcheries to an earlier question that was asked of my fellow appointee? You know, I'd like to know and have more updated information about what are the straying rates associated with some of these hatcheries? Are they larger or smaller than what we think? What are the genetic mutations or implications or any effects that might be being had on wild stock, if any at all? You know, so a lot of these questions are open, and I've got, you know, my own little laundry list of areas where I would love to see more research done to help inform better decision making at the board level. And that's one of the reasons that under my leadership at the board, we formed a special committee to start that conversation about what are the research needs that the board feels would help benefit our decision making and help benefit the management of the resources in general. So I was chairing the board at that time. Last year, I was not chairing the board, but I did chair the resources. Process and research needs committee. And one of the reasons that I actually decided to put my name in for reappointment is because that's an area I'd like to focus in the next 3 years of a hopeful next term, is start really, you know, communicating with the from and with the public on what those needs are, and then also to this body, the legislature, about what those needs are. Certainly, I want to do that in conjunction with the department. But I think that that's an area where I think the board can help help the legislature, and maybe the legislature can help the board, and ultimately the resource and stakeholders associated with those resources.
Follow up.
Thank you. And I think I want to clarify, I think I know the answer based on your comments, but I want to clarify. Have you or the board during your tenure there provided feedback to the administration or to others in written form as a formal matter on what data you would like to see?
Specifically on what data and what research, what the research needs are? No, but that's something that I would like to generate in the next year or two, frankly, through the work of the committees, if I'm reconfirmed. We have communicated recently to the legislature, one while I was chair, about enforcement needs in the fisheries. That was born out of Bristol Bay primarily, but also in Western Alaska, Alaska Peninsula fisheries. So we did communicate to the legislature, I believe, in the form of a letter in 2022 about our concern about needing additional resources in those spaces. And that was, again, born out of public request. And then most recently, I believe that the joint boards met last month, and the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game, I believe, should have submitted a recent resolution to the legislature about resource needs for the functions of the advisory committees. But I do see that research needs is ripe, I think, for discussion. And I think that the legislature would benefit from, you know, some of that information, that conversation.
Thank you.
Any further questions from committee members? It's pretty quiet over there. Okay. Representative Stutes,
No.
Okay. All right. Seeing no further questions, thank you for your service and for letting us get to know a little bit more about you. And I am now going to move to public testimony. So I'm going to open public testimony on both Board of Fish appointees. So for those testifying, I'd like to ask that you keep your testimony to 2 minutes. And so that everyone has an opportunity to speak, and you may, in your 2 minutes, speak to one or both of the appointees. So I'm going to open up to the room. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on the appointments today? Seeing none, I will go online. First, we will go to Paul Schnur II. Hi, Paul. Please state your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman Vance, Chairman McCabe, members of the Resource and House Resource and Fisheries Committee. My name is Paul A. Shadura II. I reside in Kalifonsky Village here on the Kenai Peninsula. I've been a commercial fisherman for 56 years. I'm a member of the Kenai Sea Indian Tribe. I'm also vice chair of the Kenai Sadotin Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and I attend a lot of Board of Fish meetings, and I've seen a lot of different Board of Fish members and how they respond to the public. I just want to say right from the start that I oppose the confirmation of both appointees. That means I oppose the reappointment of Carlson Van Dort and Ms. Carlson Van Dort, and also Mr. Chamberlain, for a multitude of reasons. I do not have any personal negative disposition for either one, but the selection process and the work that they must do is critical for the state, and I think it requires a different set of skills and parameters to fairly decide which judgment works better than others. Alaska Board of Fish was established in 1975 by the legislature. Considerations for members were for public affairs, good judgment, knowledge, ability in the field of action, providing diversity of interest, points of view in the membership. Appointed without regard to political affiliation, yet by the confirmation process, by default, it is extremely political in nature, considering that it first comes from the governor's office in his particular viewpoint and relative to the legislature makeup. Also, the geographical location aspect. Now, the idea about the requirements in 1605-251.
Mr. Shadura, your 2 minutes are up. If you could wrap up your comments.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll just say that as it relates to geographical area, to have a predominance of members from one part of the state wasn't the purpose, I think, originally intent was for that not to happen. And I thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Robert Hayano from Dillingham. Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Robert Hayano, and I'm here today in support of the reappointment of Marit Carlson Van Dort. I reside in the lifelong resident of the Bristol Bay area, predominantly in the Nishigag Bay. I'm a current operator of a Bristol Bay drift gillnet operation, and I've been attending Board of Fish meetings since 1979. I find Marit Carlson Van Dort to be an outstanding board member. She's easy accessible by the public, works to find consensus on difficult issues, takes on a leadership role when asked to, has a good understanding of the issue before voting, is very knowledgeable on the importance of fishes to subsistence users, and doesn't hesitate to make the difficult decision in order to protect the resource. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll move off net to John Wood from Willow. He's current chair of the Board of Fish. So please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. John Wood, current chairman of the Board of Fish for about another 2 months. I was not looking forward to coming in front of another legislative committee and had asked the governor that not consider me for reappointment. But my observation for the last 10 years on the appointment process is that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, meaning that those who have served get interrogated pretty thoroughly, whereas those who don't have any record have a much easier pass of it. So I wanted to be here today to testify on behalf of reappointing Carlson Van Dort, and it was unsolicited on her part. I called her earlier this week to make sure that it wouldn't hurt more than it would be a benefit. One of the biggest things that happens at the board is trying to get the parties together, and to do that, you have to thoroughly understand the process, and Mr. Van Dort does fully understand the process and is able to utilize it to the best of her ability, which is quite good. She and I have been on opposite sides on many of the very important or controversial issues, but never has she overstepped the boundaries. And I would very much support her candidacy. It should be recognized, and she should be recognized. We have now incorporated local and traditional knowledge into the process, and that in large part can be attributable to her efforts and spearheading that with the process committee. I'd be glad to answer any questions or some questions regarding research and hatcheries. And if I'm questioned, I'll try and answer those. But I don't think you'll find a more suitable member of the board than Marit provides to you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Wood. And there are a lot of people disappointed that you did not reapply. So do we have any questions for Mr. Wood while we have him available? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Kim Landine from Gustavus. If you could please state your name and affiliation for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, good evening. I'm Kim Landine, Assistant Executive Director of Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, or SEGO. I live in Gustavus year-round with my husband and two young little girls who I lovingly call my cubs. Today, I'm calling on SEGO's behalf. I want to voice our full support for Mark Carlson Van Dort for reappointment and Curtis Chamberlain's appointment to the Board of Fisheries. You can refer to both our written letters of support in the confirmation material if you desire. SEGO represents about 300 saltwater guided fish or sport fishing and lodge businesses from Yakutat to Ketchikan with a fleet of over a little around 600 active charter boats. That's about half the state's total number. With the exception of halibut, the Board of Fisheries has authority over every other fish important to our industry, and as a good working board is extremely, extremely important to us. Ms. Carlson Van Dort has served the board extremely well since her first appointment in 2019, in our view. We've had direct opportunity to interact with her. She's a very capable person, very analytical, very sharp, and is capable of grabbing the nuance of fishery management in ways that is extremely impressive to witness. When we started a discussion with her about complex management strategies and concepts, she was able to grab them, allowing us to go into more depth and have robust management plans emerge from these conversations. If you track the meetings, you can see that she's very well prepared for all of the proposals that come before the board. She really knows her material, and she's able to interact with the department in a way that, once again, is impressive. She can look at their report. She can offer analytical advice and strategy that is fitting for a chair member or for a board member. We've got a lot of fresh members of the board right now, and they are doing a great job, but Marit will be an anchor to this group if she is allowed to continue. Speaking to Mr. Chamberlain, we've had the opportunity to speak with him, and we have found him to be very responsive to our organization. We see his background in law and involvement in fishery issues as setting him up to effectively serve on this board. We appreciate his value to personal involvement in the subsistence sport and commercial fisheries. We find that this gives him an advantage when approaching decisions in a holistic and systematic way. He has a good vision of renewing Alaska's fishery resources and appears to understand the relative economic contributions to Alaska of the various fishing sectors.
Ms. Landine, your 2 minutes are up. Could you please wrap up your comments?
Absolutely. I hope that this committee will recognize that Mrs. Carlson Van Dort and Mr. Kurt Chamberlain have extreme value to the board, and we recommend them for service for fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Virgil Impentower from Fairbanks. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Virgil Impentower. I serve 3 terms on the Board of Fish. I'm currently the longest member of the Pacific Salmon Treaty. I'm a member of the Yukon River Panel. I want to support both, and I'm also a member of the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I support both members. Mr. Chamberlain, I've spent 2 Board of Fish meetings with him, and he's a very quick learner, and I'm positive he will be a very good board member. Ms. Van Dort, I spent a lot of time with her in the past, and I fully support her. She has the experience and the science background to make a super good board member, and she is a good board member. And as I said, I'm part of the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and I think one of our other members is going to support or speak for the committee, but I'm not positive of that. But I do know that we wholeheartedly support both of them to be appointed, or Ms. Van Dort to be reconfirmed, reappointed, and Mr. Chamberlain to also be confirmed. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Gail Vick from Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Gail Vick. I'm calling in support of the confirmation of both Mark Carlson Van Dort and Curtis Chamberlain to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. I'm speaking on behalf of myself as a fisheries policy consultant a former commercial fisherman and a 55-year resident of Alaska. However, I chair Fisheries Subcommittee of the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and I facilitate a weekly Bristol Bay AYK coalition, both of which are strongly supportive of the appointments of Ms. Carlson Van Dorg and Mr. Chamberlain. Both candidates have extensive knowledge of and experience in Alaska's multi-sector fisheries, as well as strong biology and legal backgrounds. Both are known for their ability to listen to constituents, thoroughly research the issues, and weigh options carefully. Both put the resource first, and both understand the extreme need to find equitable resolutions between user groups. I've been working with the Board of Fish for almost 40 years. Ms. Carlson Van Dorg is one of the most competent Board of Fisheries members I've ever worked with. Mr. Chamberlain has shown himself to have equal skills on a number of fisheries issues. I trust both their judgments, even though I may not always agree with them. The current crisis in the AYK, indeed all of the Alaska regarding the decline of Chinook salmon, as well as a multitude of other fisheries challenges, requires board members with their capabilities. I have full confidence in both their ability to work toward well-researched, sustainable solutions, putting Alaska's fisheries resources first and foremost, so that we all have fish for the future. Thank you for your consideration of their appointments.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Shannon Martin, the Executive Director of Kenai Sport Fishing Association from Soldotna. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Good evening, Madam Chair Vance and Chair McKay and members of the House Resources and Fisheries Committee. For the record, my name is Shannon Martin, and I'm the Executive Director of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, and will be speaking on behalf of the association. Krista would like to express our support for both Marit Carlson Van Dorg and Curtis Chamberlain to serve on the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Krista is the leading sport fishing and personal use advocacy group in Alaska with thousands of members. We are a 501c3 nonprofit fisheries conservation organization dedicated to ensuring the sustainability of the Kenai River. Since 1984, we've advocated for responsible angler access and meaningful opportunity for sport and personal use fishermen. Ms. Carlson Van Dorg has served on the board since 2019, and we have witnessed firsthand the outstanding work and positive impact brought about by Ms. Carlson Van Dorg. Her innovative approach to addressing complex challenges, oftentimes emotional conflicts, has resulted in sustainable solutions to fisheries issues. We've also witnessed her fairly balance the viewpoints of all stakeholders. During her service to the board, she's made herself available to the public, and we strongly urge you to move forward with her reappointment. Speaking to Mr. Chamberlain, we recently met with him and also support his appointment to the board. He has stated he'll put the resource first and use the data provided to him as a Board of Fish member to ensure Alaska fisheries are healthy for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Greg Spinson, I believe is a current board member. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Greg Svensson, and I am a current first-year board member. I just I wanted to agree with a lot of what was said about Ms. Van Dorg. I just wanted to say that Ms. Van Dorg has been a very important member of the board. She has a wealth of knowledge and understanding of the issues because of extensive participation as a board member. And I would highly recommend her confirmation for another 3 years on the board. And secondly, being a first-year board member, I've learned a lot by listening to her questions and answers to many of the issues that came up. So she was a great help to me. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Eva Burke from Fairbanks. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Eva Burke. I am a contractor for the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission, and I'm calling in support of both Marit and Kurt, and have had the pleasure of participating in the Board of Fish with both of them, and was really impressed by the commitment in the process to work with the various stakeholders there. And like she said, it's a very contentious environment, and being able to bring in a lot of different viewpoints and be very analytical and very thorough knowledge of the processes, and also regarding Mr. Kurt too, both of them, they show up to a lot of different meetings that stakeholders are having so that they can better understand issues from their perspective.
and that they're also, you know, when it comes to salmon and how salmon go between the river and the ocean, I've noticed both of their participation and knowledge of other, you know, decisions that are outside of Board of Fish, like the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. And at each of those, being able to see Kurt, I've also seen him at the Federal Subsistence Board. So he has a diverse perspective based on his participation in all of those different groups. And as well as Marit, meets with a lot of different AC members throughout the state of Alaska and has come to some AC meetings and other stakeholder meetings. And I just really appreciate both of their knowledge of the fisheries resource in Alaska, the respect for all the different users groups, and for always prioritizing the resource first. And so with that, I'll conclude and look forward to seeing the outcome. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. So I believe that concludes all of our testimony tonight. You two made it off really easy. So did the committee. Look at that. Everyone must have been out because the sun is shining. I want to thank everyone for providing their public testimony tonight. Do the appointees wish to make any final closing comments? No? Okay. Any final questions from committee members? All right. Thank you so much. So seeing there are no further questions or comments, resources, Chair McKay, would you like to make the statement before we pass along the signature page?
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Vance. In accordance with AS 3905080, the House Resources Committee has reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Alaska Board of Fisheries, Curtis Chamberlain and Merritt Carlson Van Dort. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions.
And for the House Special Committee on Fisheries members, I will now make the same statement in accordance with AS 39.05.080. The House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Alaska Board of Fisheries, Curtis Chamberlain, Marit Carlson Van Dort. This does not reflect any intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions. I ask that the members please stay for a moment to sign the report before you leave. Seeing there is no other business before the committees, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect it is 7:01 p.m.